League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. Over there, Sarah.
Hello there.
And up close and personal, it's Chris.
Hiya.
Now, everybody, art can be defined as the expression or application of human creative skill and imagination, producing works to be appreciated primarily for their beauty or emotional power. Now, we've all encountered many forms of this, of course, ladies and gentlemen, but we also know that sometimes people can take the piss a bit when it comes to claiming what art is. Today, we're answering this question. Pardon, Chris?
Make your bed.
Right. Today, we're answering this question. What qualifies as art?
You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
I was just interrupted doing an intro and furious as a result. So,
we always let you do it.
What's the making your bed business?
Tracy Emin, wasn't it? She was
she?
A famous artist who did a piece of art, which was an unmade bed in a messy room with crisp packets and things, wasn't it?
Yeah, we'll get on to
and that.
And
that really
art.
Did kick will, off some...
We'll yeah, that was kind of one of these big... Is that really art? Like, that's kind of the for me, the question that was first time I heard it.
Like I say, we'll get on to conceptual art later, but spoilers, it isn't art. Chris, what do you think then? What qualifies as art for you, my man?
I guess trying to think of something...
Paintings.
Meaningful. Something which moves you, either in a beautiful way or powerful. So like it could be a powerful political statement. So like Banksy's well known for his, you know, provoking discussion. Yeah, I think it's just something that moves you in a way. Whether it doesn't need to be in a good way. It could be just be something that provokes you to think or you just start to appreciate some sort of beauty.
Yeah, so you're saying that something that moves you and...
And it could be moving to being like, that was brilliant. So I was trying to think earlier of a film that I thought was quite significant in an arty way. And I'm loath to say, but I still think Inception for its time was just phenomenal. Like,
do you know, I thought you were going to say Schindler's List there for some reason.
I don't know why you thought that.
Well, no, because it was shot in black and white.
It's true.
And then you had the little girl who was in red to kind of... I remember my film teacher, if you like, I studied media because I'm amazing and lazy.
You love art.
And media was always back in the day... If you said you were studying media, people were a bit like, well, you've just gone on holiday for 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, look at you now. Who's laughing?
Yeah, exactly. I go on holiday all the time. that's not true. What was it? Oh, yeah, my film teacher, or whatever he taught, the film was included in it. We had a module called Sex and Violence. My goodness.
Oh, wow.
Wouldn't have that nowadays. But... He said about Schindler's List. He was like, I said, oh, I saw Schindler's List the other night, thinking, oh, I'm going to write really appeal to him, and he just went, oh, Hollywood, Spielberg, oh, black and white, the girl in red, yuck, horrible. And I was like,
really?
I was like, yeah, I didn't like it either.
Yeah, I thought it was terrible.
I was like, I've been watching Independence Day on repeat, and now I thought I'd try and. anyway, there's one for the younger listeners. Okay, Chris, so you a film something. So what about then? What about gardening? Oh. A physical landscape, because obviously physical landscapes could move people, but then that's just natural beauty. So you can't say that's art because that's just the way the rocks have formed over thousands of years or whatever. But landscape gardening, well, that would be quite art.
I guess,
filled, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If it brings, I guess if it, and I say move you, it could be to a state of peace or appreciation or wonderment or something. Like, this is such a big abstract question, isn't it, that we decided to
what
tackle.
We do, baby.
That would qualify it, I guess. And I guess it's that, is it, as you said, it's an expression of what maybe the artist was thinking. So it's like, it's not just, oh, I've just put a tree somewhere randomly, but they really thought about what that would do in that place, or the meaning behind it, or how it would affect people, or like, it has to have greater meaning to it other than just, I've just done this thing and I haven't thought about it.
And it can't be functional, say, because if you say, well, someone put up a fence or a barrier or something to stop people falling off a cliff or in a river, you say, well, then there's a function to that. That's not for any sort of aesthetic beauty.
No, unless it's something that they really thought through for aesthetic purposes as well, and it's multi-purpose.
Right. Okay.
But it wouldn't just be a normal function and fence.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Sarah, what about you? What constitutes art? I know you're a big fan of the galleries.
I just want to be really careful that I also don't upset any of our barrier making listeners.
No, so upset them. Just sod them. They need to jazz these things up. Barriers are boring. Come on, barrier people.
You can make them art, people. We believe in you. Come on, spread those creative wings. Well, it's interesting. As Chris was talking, I was like, yeah, I can get on board with this explanation. This is good. But I did find myself thinking, there's some stuff, I don't know why this in particular popped into my head, of, you know, those like really, really boring standard pictures that you get on the walls in like a Premier Inn,
yes,
or like you can buy them in like Homebase.
I know what you mean.
And it's just like a picture of the sea or something.
It's the it's an art equivalent of Muzak or whatever
exactly.
It's called.
Lift
music.
And
or elevator
them,
music.
I do
in case
think,
any Aussies are listening.
I do think I wonder if some of, like, I'm sure some of that when it's produced, you know, they really do think it's beautiful and, you know, it gets sold, maybe not, maybe they didn't have that it would be sold that way in mind when they did it. But I do think there's some things like photography, which can be an incredible art form, but also can be done in kind of a very functional way to then be sold as, air quotes, art. And I guess maybe how you could justify that being art is it may not move the person who's creating it, but actually perhaps when someone's walking through Homebase and they see one of those £5 canvases, they think, oh, I really like that picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me feel, like Chris said, that makes me feel peaceful, or that makes me, yeah, that'll look really nice on the wall of my bathroom or something.
Yeah, but it's yeah, as you say, it's to provoke an emotion, to move them, and as boring or plain as some people may find it, it is some sort of form of decoration.
Yeah. And I guess it creates some kind of feeling.
Yes. The feeling seems to be quite important with this. The famous Russian novelist Leo Tolstoy said, art is the activity by which a person, having experienced an emotion, intentionally transmit that emotion to others. And so this can be found in all sorts of things. So you've mentioned Homebase and all those little things there or whatever.
No shade to
all that, all that kind of crap. Well, what about something when you have photographers, as you mentioned, in war-torn areas? And these sort of photos that you see of death and destruction and all sorts of horrendous, horrible things, that sort of, those kind of photos are, of course, they're trying to paint a picture of what's going on. Well, you, for us, fortunately, it's usually somewhere else in the world, but somewhere in the world, certainly. And that actually, of course, provokes emotions. It pulls on people's heartstrings. You know, you have a lot of campaigns for this sort of thing on television. You know, donate money to this worthy cause for this reason, et cetera, et cetera, and so on. And it can be stuff that's happening at home as well. So you could argue that there's art behind, I mean, photography, I think everyone would probably agree that there's definitely, that is within the arts, I suppose. But something like, I didn't think about this, you know, having been to one of the most incredible like war museums, and I've been to a few, was the one in Vietnam. All about the conflict with America, which used to be called something like the American War Atrocities Museum or something. They really went big on it, like you know. But you see it from But you see it from you know, a different sort of side. And again, it was astonishing, some of the photos and the captions and this, that, and the others. But I don't treat it as if I'm walking around an art gallery, if you see what I mean. But the emotions are running very, very high when you look at these things and you think, my goodness, you know, like way more for me personally than I would walk around in an art gallery, for example. But it's interesting you say that the emotions are so heavily wrapped up in this sort of thing.
Yeah. And they're curated for that reason, I guess, that place, wasn't it?
Totally,
because they want to take you on a journey. They want to, it's that movement thing again. We want to take you from one place to another. And I was thinking about when you were saying that about old Tolstoy. Is literature classed as art?
Well,
I would say so.
Quite possibly. I mean, people do. You see, the term art is sort of banded around quite willy-nilly when they say, oh, big fan of his art or her art. You know, big fan. And you kind of. I mean, on a very, very simple, basic, childish level, I do think, when I think of art, I think of drawings and paintings, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So when you say about literature, you think, well, is it art? And then you think, well, I mean, I suppose...
Is there anyone who's creative or creates something that is their art, that's their expression? So therefore, you could create a story.
But I kind of draw the line at sport, if I'm honest. I don't think when people...
Really? I thought you were going to absolutely... Yeah. Go off on one about sport being an art.
Well, I tell you why, because sport is brilliant and art's boring. That's why. no, I'm only joking. I think it's. Art is. I suppose I think art is maybe something. I don't know. This is hard to form.
There'll be some players that they'll say they've turned that into an art form, won't they? Because they'd be so good at something.
Is it because it's like the reason that they are doing the thing is not to, it's to achieve a goal that is not to inspire a feeling or to entertain. It is to put the ball in the goal or whatever it may be.
There's a function to it and it happens to have a massive byproduct, which is of course emotions. But that is ultimately a byproduct, I would suggest.
And seeing, so this is where I feel like you could, some people would say, seeing anybody who is incredibly, incredibly good at what they do is like witnessing art. You know, scoring the perfect goal maybe is art, but generally football perhaps is not an art.
Well, I would say you fit that it's like art, but it is an art. So I think that's where people often draw the lines when they talk about various footballers like Lionel Messi. Oh, he's like an artist on the pitch. Yeah, again, that word like is very, very important. Yeah. You're using it, what would it be, a simile, I suppose, if you use the word like, isn't it? I get tangled up in all that. But forgive me if that's wrong, but I think that's what it is. Whereas
it is also that art would have to communicate something, as well as you said, like, you're enjoying that, but it's not communicating anything.
Yeah,
so there's no message or there's no like thought behind that thing other than I need to score the goal, like Sarah said.
Yeah, because I think, again, the crowd cheering and all that kind of stuff, again, is... It just sort of happens to be the case that people are into that and they've attached it.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean. Although, is a painting truly art if nobody actually sees it? You know, if a tree falls on a painting.
Fell in the woods.
Yeah.
Would anyone care? No. With the message thing, I think a lot about how, this makes me sound old and probably... out of touch. But
you're going to talk about Tony Hart.
No, I'm going to talk about music. And I feel like music used to have, people wanted to give a message. They wanted to say something. There was a lot of political music, wasn't there? Back, you know, much more.
Still is.
I caveat that with, except, you know, obviously people like Stormzy and Dave, they are using their music politically. Yeah. But it feels like there was a lot more kind of back in the day, whether it was sort of NWA.
There's a rat in my kitchen. What am I going to do? There's a rat in my kitchen. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Green Day, American Idiot. Like, there's so many songs that had, there was a message being done through the art form as well. I feel like nowadays, so the artist was giving out as well. It feels more like actually the artists just want from us. Like, they want adulation. They want likes. They want the money. They want the status.
I don't think I agree with you, Chris. I just think you're not, like, not necessarily the music that is popular with the young folks, but I still think there is plenty of music being made that's making political or other, you know, points.
But for who? So that's my point, is that they're doing it because they want to be famous. Now, I caveat with people like Dave made a brilliant statement, the Brits, with his song Black, things like that. But I feel like, and I used, long time ago now, like 15, 16 years ago, I used to work in music management. And like, it just felt like, maybe it's just the people I was with, they didn't want to put anything out into the world as such. Maybe I am wrong.
To bear your soul.
What am I saying? I feel like music used to have a strong messaging, and nowadays it's not. But like I said, it might just be me.
I don't think that.
But that's a different. Is this a different point though? Is this to do with art though? Because you're saying that. What? But even if it is to provoke an emotion for people to think, yeah, I feel much better about myself because this person's singing about
that's true.
How much money he's got or whatever, and that inspires me to go. You know, you.
I'd ignored my previous point about emotion and went straight onto messaging. And
I'm holding you.
I hadn't made a connection, but you did.
Well, music. I would say there's a stronger argument for music to be art than, say, sport. Because, again, there isn't that music doesn't have that sort of functionality kind of thing. It has... I think also, though, it's... Sport really, you know, you is something you watch live. It happens and then it's done, if you see what I mean. Mm. And I think art is something that usually stays. And now I understand you get some people who will. So someone like the aforementioned Banksy, you know, he draws something on a wall, and is it meant to last? Is it not? What's the true feeling behind that?
A performance or like, you know, theatre or something that is still art, even though it doesn't. Last.
That's a fair point.
That's a good point.
But again, yeah, I think
that is knocking our points out of the park.
But as I was saying, with music, with Banksy's, with theatre, all of this provokes feelings, right? It doesn't have to be a positive feeling, but it provokes a feeling.
And it can entertain, of course.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like that's it.
But then you do have art that tries to kind of... going back to the sort of the say photography in a war kind of photography or whatever I said earlier, is, you know, I think about when I went to Northern Ireland, I was in Belfast, and you go around and you see the murals, which obviously these incredible, murals, I was about to say paintings, but, you know, murals, you know, on the side of walls and buildings and so on. And they are incredible. And some of them, you know, are quite fierce. They tell
powerful
a story, usually from a certain angle, depending on which part of the city you're in, of course, about quite a sort of in-depth topic to try and put it politically sort of correctly or whatever. But I was genuinely fascinated by this, because this was sort of, there's sort of history wrapped up in this, there's people's lives, there's a sort of story to be told, and I suppose it's being told through the medium of art.
Yeah, which again I think for me is that like wanting some sort of messaging, what you're saying, that they're portraying a message from whoever's point of view, and it's powerful and it's moving regardless of how one sees it, and that again I would say it was art with my limited knowledge, because it's done all those things that we've defined art to be: powerful, messaging, moving, like an escalator.
So, exactly. but do you feel then that, again, somebody, when they write a song or something, they have this feeling inside them and they're trying to convey it, which we go back to our friend Leo Tolstoy.
Friend of the podcast, Leo.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Big fan.
Because he's saying you have this feeling, whatever it may be, whether it's just simply... yeah, the sun's out and I want to write something or draw something nice, or actually I want to write something and dedicate it to someone who's very special, whatever it may be, political statement or whatever. So you have that. And now, as I promised at the start, we move on to what is called conceptual art, which essentially makes a mockery of all this sort of stuff. Marcel Duchamp. Duchamp is the father of this type of art, apparently. Looked into this, you won't be surprised to know that I had no knowledge of this before doing this podcast. And as the Huffington Post once wrote a few years ago, Duchamp in 1917 took the piss out of the traditionalist art establishment by presenting a urinal in an exhibition of an international art thing. And this is where people go, hang on a bleeding minute.
Yeah,
that's fine. You can be a bit weird and wonderful with what was dubbed modern art and so on, but then, and I understand this is 1917 he did this, so it's been around for a while, but this is when people do things and you think, no, that message you're trying to convey is too well hidden. So in conceptual art, the idea or concept is the most important aspect of the work. Let me repeat that. In conceptual art, the idea or concept is the most important aspect of the work. So when an artist uses a conceptual form of art, it means that all of the planning and decisions are made beforehand, and the execution is a brief and superficial affair. The idea becomes a machine that makes the art. So they have this idea, yeah, and they think, oh yeah, fine, but I don't really care how it sort of, yeah, whatever, that'll do. And I think, was it the Turner Prize where this can sometimes throw up some of this bilge, where there was one...
Yeah, didn't Tracy Emin's bed win the Turner, I think?
Yes, exactly. You have this kind of crap, and you have... Was there one year, maybe going back to the 90s or whenever it was, where there was a bare room with a light flickering in it?
The light switch.
Something like that. And they said, oh, this symbolises life.
Yeah.
And that won the prize. Now, that's where I draw a very distinct line with an enormous sword, which I'm ready to use with this sort of thing, because that's just piss poor behaviour, because anyone can have a go. To me, that is just any of us could have done that and gone, well, that symbolises life. Now, I understand, you know, if you're new to the scene, you probably get weeded out or whatever. But the Italian artist, Piero Manzoni, he filled tins with his own excrement and sold them for thousands.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that one.
Because, to be fair to these guys, I think they were just a bit like, yeah, you're all idiots, look at what we can do. And if that is the feeling, then I suppose the feeling is being conveyed, but it's not being grasped by the person who's buying or appreciating. It's by the passers-by going, you're a bunch of idiots.
I think what's interesting is that, like, you very clearly, that pissed you off. And I think it pisses a lot of people off. Mm. Why? I guess I'm just thinking, like, why do we care? If one person thinks it's art, why does it matter if we're like, no, it isn't. It's not like the paintings in the National Gallery, or it's not a symphony written by Beethoven. Like, why can't it be art? If they say, this is me channeling all my feelings and frustrations and my passions into
a tin of poo,
a tin of crap, or a flickering light.
I channeled it.
Like, why? Like, I guess, who are we to say it's not art?
Well, we're people. People just don't like
we're
bollocks.
People with a podcast.
People don't like nonsense and bollocks. They don't.
But I think
generally.
But in that case, that, like, I could say, like, some bands that you love who've written songs that I think are silly and pissing around, I could be like, that's nonsense, I'm afraid.
No, but that's fine. But if you were to say that's not music, then that becomes a different debate. If you were to say, actually, no, I hate those bands that you like, it's like, well, fair enough.
But
whether you like the product or not, but if you were to bash two tins together in which you'd done jobbies in and go, oh, well, this is music and art at the same time, I think you'll find. I'm sorry, but you should be in an asylum.
But if some other people say, ah, yes, it is art and we're going to give her the Turner Prize for it, who are you to say that it isn't?
Well, I'm a subject to the Queen. That's who I am.
I've got my blue passport.
I'm not wanting these people to get arrested, although that would bring a smile to my face.
If you were Prime Minister.
No, I just think it's...
But it's not everything can be art. Surely there must be boundaries to it.
I think it makes
it
makes a mockery. It just diminish what is already art. I think I don't lose sleep over any of it. You know, let's not be all sort of postmodern and sort of silly and liberal about this. Who cares with opinion? Yeah, otherwise we might as well go home, because I think if it is something like that, you just look at it and I'm not going to make I don't think anybody's going to make some sort of, intervention over this and suddenly I'm trying to save the art world. I just look at it and go, this is just nonsense. This is just stupid. You know, what I loved about Sacha Baron Cohen's character, Bruno, I didn't actually see the film, so I can't comment on that. But the initial point of his character was to expose this kind of crap, where he would go and interview people. It was usually in the world of fashion, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And which, again, some people might talk about art. And he would do these interviews and he would sort of sit there with these people and say, well, you know, what I got from your fashion show was it was such a cold feeling. It was very clinical and cold. And the guy would go, well, absolutely, that's what we wanted to do. And then you would cut back to the interview, presumably about 20 minutes later. And then he would go, I just love the warmth. I loved how it was warm and cozy. I think, well, absolutely, that's what we wanted to convey. And these people are just talking out their asses, you know. They belong together, Sarah.
I guess, I don't know. I guess
stop
I'm
being
just...
nice. Just have an opinion. If someone shits in a tin, it's not art, is it?
But if okay, so
is
what,
it?
What we were saying about conveying emotion,
yeah,
and that can be on either side, either from the viewer or from the artist. And if that person, I'm not even sure. I don't like that I'm saying this. Don't get me wrong here, but I guess. As we're talking, I'm thinking, right, if that person genuinely felt and believed, this is, I am making art, I am putting all my emotions and my passions into this, and this has a political message, this means X and Y and Z, why isn't that art?
It comes back to that thing of, like, I guess what you're saying, Sarah, is if there's a message, again, like, either one transmitted or received. And Marcus is saying, I think you were getting animated at the start, Marcus. You're like, they're just trying to mug us off. Like, they've hijacked art and they're trying to mug me off by saying it's art, and it's clearly...
And they've disappeared so much of up their own orifices, perhaps. Even they believe what they're saying. You know, you can have an element of that.
I think that's it. But I feel like if it's knowingly done with a, like...
That's satire. Yeah,
I know this is bollocks. Like, I know this is just... I am just trying to pull the wool over people's eyes.
Yeah, and Banksy does a little bit of that with more of the way he presents his art, I suppose, you could say.
Yeah.
And like I say, if this guy is you know, selling his own crap in tins or did back in the days, he's been dead for decades. Like, a part of me does find that funny. Like I say, the passerby who sees that and looks at it is almost like a piss take or a bit of satire, whatever the right word would be. There's an element of respect there, I suppose, but it's again when you get people attaching certain things to it, you go, oh well, it's all sort of wonderful. But with art, though, more traditional forms of art, have you ever seen the film The Monuments Men?
No.
It's got a great cast. Matt Damon's in it. The great Bill Murray. And John Goodman and I think George Clooney's in it as well. There's, as I say, pretty strong cast. And it's a story of a group of men who were older than the conscription age for World War II, and they were concerned that, you know, as the Nazis did, they stole lots of paint, they stole lots of art from galleries and whatnot around Europe and put it in these kind of stashes. And they were like, they were so passionate about saving this art, they went and risked their lives, and some of them died doing so. Now, these guys largely lived in the States. Some of them were in one or two other places, so they were fine. They were living in a safe country that wasn't invaded during the Second World War, other than Hawaii, of course, and they risked their lives because they were so passionate that the art in these galleries around Europe told the story of a lot of European places. They felt it was their history, if you like, because they were obviously of European heritage. And so they were that passionate. They risked their lives and gave their lives because they wanted to preserve and save this art, which shows you how important people think it is. So if I may go around an art gallery and not be particularly moved or anything, clearly people are, because often these art pictures are like photographs in a sense from hundreds of years ago. You didn't have photography back then, so it's incredibly important to people. And that stunned you both into silence, hasn't it? You think of yourself, you would never risk your lives for a painting or something like that,
or a tin and poo.
Yeah, exactly.
It's interesting you were saying about, you know, risking your life for a painting or something like that. And my big confession is, when I walk around an art gallery, on the whole, I don't feel anything.
No, I tend not to either.
You know, and that's obviously not the experience of a lot of people. And as you say, I think for some people, if they really feel that piece of art, whatever it may be, is so important. And as you say, I think, is almost an artifact telling the story of whoever. I get it, but you're not going to find me, you know, jumping in front of a hail of bullets to save the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, but do you think it's because our kind of the more appreciated forms of art now are different? They're not paintings and they're not these masterpieces. Yes, these things are worth a fortune and are often sold and bought by people with perhaps far too much money. But nowadays, it is more safe photography. You know, that's how we tell stories, don't we? Because that's available to everybody a little bit more, perhaps.
Yeah, and I guess in a way, I think we talked before in like the information age where we're overloaded with information. Like we're so busy, all the time nowadays with so much information and options for how to entertain us. You think about Spotify now, you know, we didn't have that 20 years ago. You think about streaming, like, so actually we go to probably art galleries less in general. The general person probably sees less art, so therefore we're less bothered by it, or maybe less engaged. Now there are some people who are going to be listening to this going, I love art, that's fine, but I'm just talking in general, because we have so much that fills our time, maybe the general person just appreciates it less because we don't go as much and therefore we're not as moved.
So yeah, it's interesting talking about, you know, galleries. I did ask the listeners what they thought.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
We had a lot of highbrow. We've got a lot of highbrow listeners.
They're going to hate this show.
But they're going to be like, who are these? Philistines. Yeah. But I did think it was interesting. You know, we've talked quite a lot about sort of modern art and that kind of thing. There were multiple people who expressed a intense dislike of the Tate Modern. Tom literally said, the Tate Modern can get in the bin.
Yeah, fair.
In the bin.
He will not be saving it come World War III. He'll be razing that place to the ground. And Andrew Steen said the same thing. He also doesn't rate it. But I don't know. It's quite interesting. Like, do you want to hear what some of them think?
Please. Yeah, far away.
Well, Marcus, to return to football, Richard did think the Barcelona team at its peak was art.
Okay.
A lot of people said things like, John said something that makes you think.
Okay, that was what Chris was sort of touching on earlier.
Louis says something that makes you stop in your tracks in a good way.
Oh.
I like that.
Man with a gun.
and I think I can get on board with this, and this actually circles back to something we were just talking about. Matt says it's all about intentions. Anything is art if the intent is to express oneself, but if it's just to make money, and then he just put the poo emoji.
on about the guy who put that in tins.
Yep. I would actually like to hear Matt's thought on the poo in tins. So get back in touch, please, Matt. And just to finish off, Sam T, I quite like this, said, I spent 4 years at art school, but in no way does that make me more qualified to judge what is or isn't art. What moves and impresses me may not move or impress you, and that's perfectly okay. Do what you do with love. Perspective is relative. And also, Sam, I would like to hear your thought on the poo in tins.
Fair play to you, Sam.
And again, I like the fact that Sam said move, and I talked about that, and Marcus just said escalator.
there you are, you see. Well, perhaps this is a damning indictment of where we find art in this day and age and whatnot, because if you remember, it was this year, I believe, that the Twitter founder Jack Dorsey's first ever tweet was sold for the equivalent of £2.1 million to a Malaysia-based businessman. The tweet, which simply said, just setting up my TWTTR. He didn't even spell Twitter fully, which was, of course, published on the 21st of March 2006. And it was auctioned off by Mr. Dorsey for charity. So it did raise money for charity. I don't know how you buy a tweet, but it's been bought. The charity made money, so that's the main thing. But that, as I say, is a damn indictment in where we find our art these days.
Well, if you want to see some more art, you can check out our Twitter feed.
There you go.
That's art.
What is it, Sarah?
It's what is it? At AQQA followed.
We're also on Insta at the same thing as well. So there we are. Well, thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. I think we gave some answers there.
Questionable answers.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got a few more questions, if anything,
That's what art do to you. thank you very much, Sarah.
Oh, thanks, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Chris.
You navigated that very well, Marcus. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week. Cheery bye.
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.